Well, how are y'all tonight? You know, Pastor's been going pretty hard, and he's still having a few issues with his back. And I wanted him to be ready for Sunday morning because, you know, I mean, that was an awesome message on Sunday morning, wasn't it? So, can you believe he actually obeyed me? I can't believe it because, you know, he's a pretty tough old bird. But at least he listened to me. So I'm pinch hitting for him tonight. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you know, let's turn over to Mark 11:22. You know, I heard my father-in-law preach many, many sermons from these passages of Scripture. I'm going to read these, though, in the New King James Version. Because we traveled with him for several years. And then, of course, you know, all through the years of being in the family and hearing him preach, he had umpteen thousand sermons on Mark 11:22, 23, and 24. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, you know, we get excited over those scriptures. We get excited over the formula, okay? You know, we just got to ask, we got to believe, and we got to receive, right? And, you know, it's kind of like a meal. You know, we come to the table and we see maybe homemade rolls. How many of you like homemade rolls? Yeah, me too. I'm not really a bread eater except when those things are homemade. And you see a steak, and wow, you know, that's pretty good too. And you see the potato, and that's great. We like potatoes. But then you see the broccoli or the Brussels sprouts. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like these scriptures, you know. You see the good, the believing, you know, the saying, and that we're going to have what we say. But then Brother Hagin would always just kind of like bust your balloon whenever he would say, okay, now let's read Mark 11:25. So we're going to read Mark 11:25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Now, this is what he would always add. He would say, you know, if you don't practice Mark 11:25 and 26, Mark 11:22, 23, and 24 is not going to work for you. And it was just like, oh my goodness. Do we really have to forgive? You know, for him and for really the Hagin family, they had practiced it for so long that it was just really easy. So if you ask them, well, how did you do that? That's like, you just do. Well, that wasn't quite the answer that I needed to hear. You know, one of the things that at Brother Hagin's funeral, the thing that was emphasized more than anything else besides faith was his love walk. Amen. His love walk. Now, you think about love. And so many times we'll think of a person, oh, I love them. And, you know, I'm going to pick on Kim. You know, Kim works in our office, and so I see her a lot. And so I can say, I really love Kim. But you know what? The greatest test has not come yet And that is, she hasn't done something that really hurt me or upset me. So the greatest test of my love would be if that happened. Right? Yeah. So many times we just, you know, we just put out the words, I love you, brother. And they're so trite. Because the most important ingredient of love is forgiveness. You know, the other Sunday morning, I was talking about what is your issue. And it just seems like the Lord has me dealing with issues. But, you know, it's when we deal with the issues that we will be able to live the kind of life that God intends for us to live. I remember, you know, hearing these stories from Brother Hagin. And after he talked about this, he would relay a story about two families in one of his churches. And so one of the families came up to him and said, listen, Brother Hagin, could you answer this question for me? And so she said, you know, our family, we're faithful to church. We're always here. We tithe. We try to live right for God. And she said, but we're always sick. And I just don't understand why we're always sick. And she said, here is this other family in the church. And she said, you know, they're not always faithful. And I don't know if they even give their tithes. They may give, but I don't know that they really tithe. And she said, and half the time they don't even come to church. And sometimes it's like they trip up in their walk with the Lord. But she said, they're never sick. And she said, I just don't understand it. And so Brother Hagin said this. He said, you know, let me ask you something with your family. He said, are you quick to repent and are you quick to forgive? And she said, oh, no. She says, you know, if somebody does something wrong, we'll hold it against them forever. Yeah. And he said, what about this other family? What about them? And so she said, well, you know, I mean, they just don't let anything bother them. They forgive everybody. And when they mess up, they're just really quick to repent. And so Brother Hagin said, that's your key. The reason why that you're seeing yourself not living the abundant life is because you're not quick to repent and you're not forgiving. Yeah, I know that this is not a shouting sermon. However, if you'll practice what I'm preaching, you will be able to shout. You will be able to shout. And so, you know, forgiveness in the life of a Christian, it's not an option, it's a command. Someone said that, you know, when you're married, oh my goodness, you have every opportunity to forgive, right? And forget. Someone said this, they said that Adam and Eve were the only people who had a perfect marriage. And the reason was is because Adam could never talk about the way his mother kept the house. And Eve could not brag about all the guys she could have married. I don't know about that, but you know, forgiveness, as I said, is not an option for the Christian. But let's face it, you know, forgiveness is not easy, right? When someone has hurt you, you know, it can be hard to forgive them. And maybe you forgive them once, but all of a sudden they do something else, and now you got to forgive them again. And it hurts sometimes. It hurts. You know, Jesus understood this. And so he knew the importance of forgiveness. And so he was talking to his disciples. Let's turn over to Matthew 18. He was having a conversation with his disciples. And in this chapter, you know, the disciples were asking Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They thought one of them was, you know. And what did Jesus do? He called a little child and said, you know, you gotta come as a little child. And then he goes on in this chapter and he explains, you know, how you settle disagreements. And then in this chapter is also in verse 18, he said, verily I say unto you, whatsoever things you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And we know this scripture very well. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, what? It shall be done. And so then all of a sudden, Peter, you know, blessed Peter, he pops up with a question for Jesus. And I want to read this in the New Living Translation in verse 21. Then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against us? Who sins against me? Seven times? Now, the reason why I think that he said seven times is because in the Jews were taught that you could forgive a person three times. And then if something happened the fourth time, there was no forgiveness. So, you know, Peter knew how compassionate Jesus was. So he decided, okay, I'll double that and add one more. And that certainly, you know, should be enough. But what did Jesus say? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. 70 times seven. Do you know how much that is? 490 times. And then Jesus went on to give a parable. You know what a parable is? A parable is an earthly, you know, an earthly example with a heavenly meaning, right? We give a lot of just personal examples sometimes, but Jesus went on to give this parable, and this is what he said. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Now, we know that in the King James Version, it says talents. Well, I looked that up because it was 10,000 talents. In today's configuration, this is what I found on Google. So don't, you know, if it's not right, it's not my fault. It's, you know, the Googleologist's fault. But in today's configuration, with only minimum wage, that amount of debt would be $2,250,000,000. Wow. That's a lot, right? And so he couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, verse 25, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. Now it's actually 100 denarii. I looked that up, and in denarii, there was different, according to how much they weighed, because they were just small things. And it said that they could be either from $10 to $100. So, you know, I multiplied that out, and so this man owed anywhere from $1,000 or up to $10,000. Now, how much is that compared to $2,250,000,000? Very small, right? And so, but he owed him a few thousand. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you. Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what, and Jesus now tells his disciples, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Wow. Jesus was pretty blunt, right? Sounded like my husband. You know, when my husband says something, you don't have to guess what he says because he's pretty blunt. But Jesus was, you know, telling the disciples the importance of forgiveness, the importance of forgiveness. And, you know, actually, as he was talking about this, the main thing that he wanted them to know that, hey, you know, God has forgiven us. God has forgiven us. So why would we not extend that forgiveness to others around us? Yeah. I mean, you know, over in the Beatitudes, what did Jesus say? Blessed are the what? Merciful. For what? They shall obtain mercy. I know my attitudes and my philosophy has always been this. And looking in situations, because you know, Christians can be so critical. Well, if that was me, I would have never, you know, sinned like that. You're sinning right now by your judgment. Yeah. Word says, judge not, lest ye be judged. And my philosophy has always been this. How would I want to be treated if I were in that person's shoes? If you haven't walked in somebody's shoes, don't criticize and don't judge. Don't judge how their children have come out or what's happened in their children. Don't judge a family. Don't judge. Because if we judge, we're going to be judged. You know, I think of the fact of what our Heavenly Father did for us. He sent us His very best gift. And Jesus paid a debt that we owed. And yet we owed a debt that we could not pay, as the song says. And He paid a debt that He did not owe. And how much more in here, you know, we look at others and they've done something that hurt us and we get all huffy, puffy, self-righteous, you know, and we refuse to forgive them. Well, when we do that, we're not just breaking God's law. We are breaking God's heart. Forgiveness. You know, you can say the words, oh, I forgive you. But words are cheap. Do you really forgive? Let me read the definition of forgiveness. To give up resentment of or claim to be requital for. To cease to feel resentment against an offender. I want that to soak in. To cease to feel resentment against an offender. I mean, you say you've forgiven somebody. Forgiven your best friend for whatever. You know, but you see them on the street. You see them in the grocery store. What do? I'm glad I didn't see them. I would have had to say hi. You pretend you didn't see them. Kind of sometimes like your waitress pretends she didn't. They don't. Your waiter pretends they don't see you when you need something because they're busy with somebody else, you know. When that happens, you haven't forgiven. Because you're still resentful of what they did. you're still resentful. You know, forgiveness is a choice. We can make a choice to hold a grudge. We can keep a record of all the wrongs that people have done to us. Oh man, you know, I just hate it when I have a conversation with somebody and they are telling me everything that people have done to them. It's like they're living in the negatives instead of the positives. You know, we can choose to punish people, lay on them a guilt trip. But if we're going to live the way God wants us to, and if we're going to have the abundant life that God wants us to have, we must make a choice to forgive. We must make a choice to forgive. Now, you need to write this down because this is good. Forgiveness is not an action of the emotions or the mind. Forgiveness is not an action of the emotions or the mind. Forgiveness is the action, is an action of the will. Forgiveness is an action of the will. Forgiveness is not an action of the emotions or the mind. Forgiveness is an action of the will. If you wait until you feel like forgiving, you'll never get there. No. When somebody has hurt you, when somebody has done something wrong, do you ever feel like forgiving? No. I know Tony doesn't. No, we don't feel like it. But we don't go by feelings, y'all. We will to forgive. Being hurt is an emotional event, and emotions don't heal by themselves. You have got to heal with the help of your will. You've got to say, I choose to forgive. Even though I'm hurt, I choose to forgive. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness. But once again, we just only want to read what we like to hear in the Bible. Right? Yeah. We want to just read all the dessert scriptures and all the, you know, prospering scriptures and all of the joy scriptures and all these things that make us feel good. But on the other hand, there are instructions in the Word of God, and the reason why so many times that things are not working as they should is because we're not practicing the whole Word of God. We are not practicing the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, you know? Amen. And all of those things. Let's turn to Luke 6:37. Luke 6:37. I'm once again reading this in the New Living Translation. It says, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will all come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. And then over in Ephesians 4:31, it says, Paul said, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger. You know, and those are the things that we experience when somebody hurts us, right? We become bitter. We get angry. We start spouting off words. Bad words. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, and here it is, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And you know, you might ask the question, well, you know, what if someone's abused me? What if my spouse has cheated on me? You know, somebody has hurt me really badly. Do I still have to forgive them? Yeah, you still have to forgive them. Now, does that mean that you let a person keep on hurting you? Absolutely not. No. It's like an old dog knows if somebody beats them, they're not going to go back to that person. You know? No, it doesn't mean that you keep on allowing somebody to take advantage of you, okay? Sometimes people take it the wrong way. No, that doesn't mean that. But it does mean that you still have to forgive them. You've got to forgive them. You can't hold grudges, guys. You know, don't badmouth people. My father-in-law, you could never get anything. He would never say anything bad about anybody. I don't care if that person had done him wrong. He's not going to say something bad about them. And you know, he had many opportunities to practice the love walk. Forgiveness means that you don't seek revenge. That you don't keep on bringing up those mistakes. Spouses, don't keep on bringing up those mistakes. Wives are pretty bad about that. Don't do that. All right? You know, sometimes I know that it doesn't seem fair. We want justice, right? And then sometimes people, they don't even ask you to forgive them. And you think, well, why should I forgive them? Because that's what God said. You know, we ourselves didn't deserve forgiveness, but God forgave us. According to the latest medical and psychological research, forgiving is good for our soul and for our bodies. Yeah. The research says people who forgive benefit from a better immune system. Yeah, there's endorphins and stuff that are released that are good. If you keep on not forgiving, I'll tell you what, that immune system doesn't work properly. Forgiving helps to lower your blood pressure. Yeah, along with losing weight. Anyway, forgiving. You know, people that are easily forgive, they have better mental health than people who do not forgive. They feel better physically. They have lower amounts of anger and fewer symptoms of anxiety and depression. And research says that they maintain more satisfying and long-lasting relationships. I mean, you think of some people, they stay mad all the time. They stay angry all the time. But when we allow ourselves to feel like victims, or we sit around dreaming how to retaliate against people who've hurt us, you know, that takes a toll on our mind and on our bodies. I don't know about you, but I want to experience health. How about you? You know, and when people don't forgive, bitterness begins to build up on the inside of them. Have you ever known somebody they're bitter about everything? Well, usually those are people that refuse to forgive. You know, when you refuse to forgive someone, do you realize they own you? They own you. Unforgiveness, do you realize that it doesn't hurt the person that you're not forgiving? No. It only hurts you. So, why would we want to be hurt? You're not hurting that other person. You're only hurting you. And sometimes the reason we don't want to forgive is because we want the other person to be hurt. They're not getting hurt. We're hurting ourselves by our refusal to forgive. And so you say, but Lynette, I have a hard time forgiving. And like I told you, you know, when my father-in-law would preach on this, I'm thinking, oh, I know, I got to forgive. But how do you forgive? Because it was hard for me to forgive, because when I love deep. And when you love deep and somebody hurts you, it hurts deep. And it's hard to get over it. And I wanted to, but I didn't know how. And so I asked first my husband, honey, you know, you don't have any trouble forgiving anybody. And people just say horrible things sometimes about you. I mean, we would be in meetings. And when we were traveling with the Hagans, and Brother Hagan would speak one night, and then he would say to my husband, you speak tomorrow night. Well, now he's only obeying what his dad tells him to do. But people would be coming to the meeting. And sometimes you don't want people to be honest, you know. I'm standing beside my husband. People would come up and say, well, I'm really disappointed that you preached tonight. I really came to hear your dad. And I really didn't get anything out of your sermon. You know? Now, that would hurt me, and I would just want to punch him in the face, you know. I know you think pastor is competitive. Listen, I'm just as competitive. I just kind of hide it until I need it, you know? So I would say to him, honey, how do you forgive? And he said, you just forgive. Well, that wasn't a good answer for me. And so I thought, well, you know, the great prophet of God should be able to tell me how to forgive. What are the steps that I need to take to forgive? So I went to Dad. Dad, you know, how do you forgive? Well, you just do. Well, that didn't work for me. You know, we do have to be honest with ourselves. And I realized that I needed to practice forgiveness and I needed to get over all of this, but I did not know how to do it. But you know what? If you just go to the Father, our Heavenly Father, He will show you exactly what you need. So, you know, in desperation, you know, when all else fails, what do? We ask God, right? So in desperation, I said, God, I know I need to get over this. You know, I mean, I can remember everything that everybody did against me because I have a good memory. But listen, I need to forget these things. But God, you know, I don't want to lose my memory. So you're going to have to tell me how to do this without losing my memory. And he took me over to Matthew 5:44. Matthew 5:44. And if you don't have this yellowed or underlined, you need to, because this is the key to all forgiveness. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and here was the key, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now the Lord, I have a set of scriptures that I read, and the Lord said, I want that to be the first scripture that you read every day. You know, that's hitting you in the face every day. And he said, when you read that, anybody or anyone that you have had trouble forgiving, you start praying for them. Amen. You pray for them every day. And he said, and you'll know when you're really practicing forgiveness, when you pray for them and you don't feel that resentment against them. And you don't feel that resentment. And so you might say, oh, well, you just did that one time and everybody that you had, you know, that you hadn't forgiven, you forgave. Nope. Nope. You know, some hurts were so deep. And you don't rationalize, guys. If somebody has hurt you, it's like an infection. You got to get it out. You've got to get it out. And sometimes with infections, it takes antibiotics to get it out. Well, here's the antibiotic. It's the Word of God. And, with an antibiotic, you don't just, when you start feeling good, you don't quit taking the antibiotic, right? You keep taking it until the prescription is not there anymore, that the doctor has given you everything. Well, the same thing. And so I would read this, and I practice this day in and day out, day in and day out. Now, I will tell you, there was a few hurts that were so hurtful that it took me 10 years praying for that person to finally be able to pray for them and not even remember what they had done. I'm just being real, guys. And we need to be real. Some ministers will get up here and just, can I go a little bit longer? Some ministers will get, you just do it, and da-da-da-da-da. Well, when you haven't practiced that all your life, it just doesn't come like that. But let me tell you, once I passed the test, now I understand what my husband was saying and what my father-in-law was saying is, how do you forgive? You just do it. You just do it. You just do it. And now when somebody, hurts me or says something bad or has hurt me bad, hey, I just let it go in one ear and out the other, and I just forgive. It's easy. It's not hard at all now. Why? Because I learned the secret. And that is praying for your enemies. Now I can pray about other things because I don't have to spend all my time praying for my enemies. And so forgiveness begins in the heart. Amen. So lift up to God the person who's hurt you by praying for them. Forgiveness will set you free. If we truly learn to forgive with the generous love which God has given us, then our lives, our world, our family, everything around us will change, and we'll be able to live in peace. I want to read a story that actually, this story, they said it's true that I was reading it. It says there was a man who had identical twin sons. The boys worked for their father in the department store he owned. When he died, they took over the store. Everything went well until the day a dollar bill disappeared. So, this is a long time ago. One of the brothers had left the bill on the cash register and walked outside with the customer. When he returned, the money was gone. He asked his brother, "Did you see that dollar bill on the cash register?" His brother replied that he had not, but the young man kept probing and questioning. He would not let it alone. Dollar bills just don't get up and walk away. Surely you must have seen it. There were subtle accusations in his voice. Tempers began to rise. Resentment set in. Before long, a deep and bitter chasm divided the young men. They refused to speak. They finally decided they could no longer work together, and a dividing wall was built down the center of the store. For 20 years, hostility and bitterness grew, spreading to their families and to the community. Then one day, a man in a car stopped in front of the store. He walked in and asked the clerk, "How long have you been here?" The clerk replied that he'd been there all of his life. The customer said, "I must share something with you. 20 years ago, I was riding the rails and came into this town in a boxcar. I hadn't eaten for 3 days. I came into this store from the back door and saw a dollar bill on the cash register. I put it in my pocket and walked out. All these years, I haven't been able to forget that. I know it wasn't much money, but I had to come back and ask your forgiveness." The stranger was amazed to see tears well up in the eyes of this middle-aged man. "Would you please go next door and tell that same story to the man in the store?" he said. Then the man was even more amazed to see two middle-aged men who looked very much alike, embracing each other and weeping together in the front of the store. After 20 years, the brokenness was mended. The wall of resentment that divided them came down. I'm telling you, guys, There are people that have held unforgiveness for 20 years and even more. Don't do that. You know, unforgiveness divides people. And the solution of it all is just to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And so I encourage you tonight, start practicing forgiveness. Take that scripture. Start praying for those that have hurt you. And I will tell you what, it will change you. It'll change your life. It will change the things around you. And it will propel you into an era that God can bless you. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up. And I was thinking the fact that, you know, if there's someone that you need to forgive, it's like having a clenched fist. And what you're clutching right now is unforgiveness. And I just encourage you, even this moment, if there is a person or something that is just, you've had trouble with forgiving, I just encourage you right now just to, with a silent prayer or with a low prayer, is just open up your fist and just say, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. It doesn't mean that you even have to go to that person. They may not even know that you've held resentment against them. You don't necessarily have to go to that person, but in your heart, determine this night that you are going to practice forgiveness in your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now. I thank you, Father, that as you minister to the hearts of people, oh, Father, there may be those that don't even realize the bitterness that they have in their heart against someone. They don't even realize that they're harboring unforgiveness against others. I thank you, Father, that you will bring that to light to them. And Father, I thank you that you will help them, show them, just as you showed me, Father, the steps that I needed to take in order to be free from that and to be able to forgive freely and quickly. I thank you that you shall show them the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I know this was not a shouting sermon, but I'm going to tell you, you can shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you start experience forgiveness. I don't think we had any guests. So I don't think that the connection team needs to go there. But if you have something that you need somebody to agree with you on or to pray with you about, the prayer team is here and they will help you. The ladies over on this side, the guys over on this side. Well, have a blessed rest of the week and we will see you. Pastor will be here Sunday morning. I'm sure he's probably watching me online to see if I'm doing it okay. We'll see you Sunday morning. God bless you. 10 o'clock on Sunday morning.